Sean, what happened last week in terms of, for those of our listeners who tuned in to listen to the new episode of the podcast, it was brought to my attention from a friend of ours. Shout out to Kevin for letting us know. But something happened with the upload of last week's podcast episode.
I'm going to take this moment to give myself a white belt for uploading the wrong episode. So it got fixed, but I'm sure a lot of people were probably like, oh shit, it's fucking last week's episode. So apologies for the producer, me. And I'll be doing some push-ups. There you go. How about that?
But on the plus side of it, you guys got to enjoy the episode from 2 weeks ago again.
And whoever listens to the whole thing.
Got no insight on last weekend's fights. So sorry about that.
Yeah, sorry about that.
But again, thank you again to Kevin for bringing that to our attention.
Thank you, Kevin.
That went down. So, oh well. But hopefully you guys are able to enjoy the new upload from last week's episode. Hey, a shout out to our Omega Martial Arts fighter, Matt. Today, he had a little bit of extra energy drink that he bought from Starbucks. He got it from Starbucks for some reason because he had to reach like this $12 limit to get to this get the deal rewards on something else he got. Yeah. So I didn't know this, but Starbucks sells this energy drink. Hmm? I think he got the caramel flavor. 225 milligrams of caffeine.
Ooh.
40 grams of sugar.
Ooh.
I was like, who the fuck needs that much caffeine and that much sugar in one drink? This is all in one can.
Me.
I can't imagine. You need that shit?
I don't need the sugar. I don't need the sugar, but the caffeine sounds kind of nice.
Well, I was like freaking out about the 225 milligrams of caffeine. That's about three cups of coffee in one can.
Matt
was freaking out about the 40 grams of sugar. I'm like, yo, give me the sugar. That caffeine looks like it's gonna make my heart explode.
Yeah. Hey, I'm in.
So I guess in all in one can, you could get diabetes and a heart attack. And possibly like high blood pressure for the rest of your life. I was like, I don't understand. Like, I mean, it must be a different flavor thing. I didn't know that Starbucks had this market, had this like product, these energy drinks in their product line. I'm just wondering who they're trying to appeal to. It's like, oh, when coffee is enough, you need that cocaine feel in your life. Yeah. Here's this energy drink. And it's, by the way, it's caramel flavored. Oh. And yes, I say caramel. I know some of y'all are saying caramel.
I wonder if we can, is it pre-made? Like it's can't, like you can't adjust it or anything like that? Is it just canned?
It's locked in a can. Oh, okay. So, I mean, I guess the only way you could adjust it is if you water it down. So what I was telling people, I brought it into the studio today and I told people, this is our emergency energy drink where it's like, if you absolutely positively need to.
Yeah.
And my thing is just like, I'm only going to drink a third per day if it even comes to that. There's no way I could take that whole thing and like.
Yes, you can. You'll probably shit your pants. But yeah.
Well, it might do more, like, Jesus Christ, man. It might make you start sweating from just sitting down.
Just smelling
fucking it. Hey, like 225 milligrams. You know, but it was also thinking about it, like this is just like that Starbucks energy drink. There are probably pre-workouts out there. Like you all probably have teammates in Muay Thai, in your MMA gym, in your jiu-jitsu gym, that's probably taking some totally cracked out borderline meth pre-workout before they're coming into
some
jiu-jitsu.
Ripped force.
Oh God dang, man. And I know some of this was strong enough, so strong that they pulled it from the market because of people close, like almost dying. I always feel like that's something you always see maybe in gyms, like, you know, workout gyms like Gold's and 24 hours and all like that. But I'm kind of surprised that whole thing, like that rip fuel thing hasn't kind of permeated kind of the jiu-jitsu scene. You don't hear about it too much. Like, oh, people like downing hella pre-workout before they do their rolls.
I would share
maybe
my
you
pants,
have.
Honestly.
I don't know. Like you're pretty quiet there. Maybe it's like that. Is that your entire?
I'm trying to think. I don't think I've ever done that because I knew I'd probably have to shit right before right after I drink it, and then right before I got into my.
Is that what energy drink does to you? It makes you evacuate.
For me, yes.
For you?
For me, yeah.
Really?
Like quick. Like it's quick. I'll feel the caffeine, but then mud butt is soon to come.
Really? You know what? You should feel happy for your body protecting yourself like that. Agreed. It's your body getting rid of shit that shouldn't be in there.
I mean, shit, why right when I have my double
getting
shot,
rid of it in the most embarrassing way possible.
Oh yeah. Like one time
I'm gonna protect you by making you shit yourself in front of your teammates.
It's like, hey,
the same day that you happen to be wearing like white board shorts on the mat.
White board shorts. Who wears white board shorts?
Well, you know, yeah, that's a good point. Well, at least maybe if you're wearing like black compression pants underneath shorts. So that's by the way, that's the protocol, guys. You can't be wearing those straight up white board shorts. And then nothing underneath because nobody wants to see what you're bringing onto the match. You're not that interesting and you're not packing that much, please.
Especially when you're doing your butterfly guard, okay? Watch out.
Or your inverted upside down guard. Yeah. You're sticking your ass up in the air.
Yeah.
Trying to like get some leg entanglement. Everyone's seeing the crack of your shit. God damn. Everyone calm down. But yeah, anyway, that's just one of the like those like fun things. Like after I was done training with Ray and Matt today. And by the way, happy birthday to Ray.
Oh, I wish him a happy birthday too.
It's his birthday. 28 years old. God damn.
To be 28.
Where does the time go? To be 28. I don't even remember. I don't know if I remember 28, Sean. Do you remember 28?
I do. I was going through a huge career change at the time. I was training. Muay Thai, boxing.
Look at you.
At the time.
Oh, man. Real stud shit.
Oh, yeah. I remember 28 very well.
Were you laying down pipe everywhere you went?
No, I was actually with my
wife. You don't have to be honest. If your wife's in the room, just blink twice.
No. I remember. Yeah.
I remember. I remember all the pipe I laid.
It's probably just on her, you know. But yeah.
But anyway, happy birthday, Ray. And since you're young, Ray, please allow me and Sean to live vicariously through you. Do all the fun stuff for us, please.
Please. Does he have a fight coming up?
No, right now we're just working on his health and working on just kind of fixing some technical stuff, getting his body right. Pretty soon, I know last week in the episode, if you heard it, I mentioned that I would have some fight news for our fighter, Matt Cox. I don't have all the details nailed down yet.
All right.
But I can say that we are looking at June 9th as a date for him.
Is that a Legends card?
Which coincidentally will be 2 weeks before his wife is due to give birth.
Oh.
So.
Do you know what promotion?
The timing's perfect. This will be on the Legends card.
Yeah. So it's local.
So June 9th, it'll be in Oakland at the Scottish Rite Center next to Lake Merritt. And we have the name of an opponent. We're just trying to nail down the agreed upon weight, the size of the purse, all those little fine details. As soon as I get all that, you know, I will share it all with you.
Yeah.
Okay. So, but we're excited about this. So that's on Omega Martial Arts News, which we're excited about. But big shout out to our friends and fam at Pacific Ring Sports. They're going to be getting busy and getting into some fight action this weekend at the Santa Clara Fitness Expo.
Ooh.
Down at the Santa Clara Convention Center, which is like right next to Levi Stadium. So we got Darren getting into a fight. We got Ali getting into a fight down there. I know we've got the young folks from Pacific Ring Sports doing the Point Muay Thai, and Coach Armando is going to be down there coaching them through that. So it's going to be exciting. So I'm going to be down there this Saturday at the Santa Clara Fitness Expo. I think I call it the Evo Expo. Mm-hmm. Though if you've never been to one of these things are hella fucking fun, bro.
Yeah.
Not just Muay Thai. They got grappling. They got jiu-jitsu. They got parkour.
Wow.
They got some weightlifting. They got fucking pro wrestling.
Really?
Sometimes, yeah, usually they also have like kids pangration. So it's a fun time. So you get a lot for, I believe it's like a $50 entry fee. You get a lot. So
I'm going
down there, have a good time. This is Saturday.
Just one day. Like the event is just one day.
You know what? I believe so. Mm. I believe so. So if you guys are free, check it out this Saturday at Santa Clara.
Was it 420 this Saturday?
This Saturday it is 420. Oh, so, you know, Sean, this is like Sean's second Christmas, folks. Oh, yeah. When it's 420. So, what do you got any big plans for 420, bro?
No. I think if we're just going to watch that Devin Haney, Ryan Garcia fight. We'll probably talk about that a little later.
Oh, the boxing fight? We can talk about right now.
Yeah.
Because I guess you guys don't know, like Ryan Garcia, Mr. Boxing of YouTube, taking on Devin Haney. And to be quite honest, I'm not super excited about it just because I feel like Haney's going to smoke Garcia. We may just dog walk him. Garcia is a great athlete, but just on the technical aspect there are just a lot of holes in his game that Devin Haney, who is a boxer's boxer, is just designed to take advantage of. That's the way I feel about it. And Devin Haney's jab is just so nasty.
Yeah.
I mean, what do you think?
I mean, anyone that can beat Lomachenko, there's no way Ryan Garcia beats Lomachenko. You know, that fight was also in question. You know, some people thought that Haney had lost that fight, but, you know, Devin Haney's pay-per-view material, he's top boxer in his class, and Ryan Garcia's been a little bit erratic, and I don't know if that's just a troll or if it's just bullshit. Who knows? But
yeah, he's been acting like pretty wild.
Yeah, and it's kind of, you know, some of the, like, I follow him, and every time his shit shows up, I'm just like, all right, what's next? It's always something weird. It almost looks like a 12-year-old is posting. It's just some random scribble shit. And I'm just like, fuck.
Well, maybe he knows his audience, homie.
Maybe. You might be 100% right there.
Oh, man. So, well, that's one of the big boxing fights that's coming up this weekend, y'all. So that's Devin Haney, Ryan Garcia. That's actually for the WBC super lightweight title,
Interestingly
enough. And just in case, you know, while we're on the boxing tip, that's not the only boxing fight this weekend. Now that Haney Garcia fight, you can watch it on DAZN. I believe it's pay-per-view or,
I believe it is DAZN. You know, yeah.
Yeah. DAZN. Yeah. And then, in Croatia, the WBC and WBA, welterweight titles are on the line, in the female division, Jessica McCaskill going up against, Ivana Habazin. That's going to be in Croatia. And so we kind of boxing right there. I know probably more eyes are probably going to be on the Haney Garcia circus. I'm calling Haney knocking him out in sixth round.
I agree. I totally agree with that.
I'd be very surprised if Garcia sees the end. If he sees the 12th round, I'd be very impressed. I'd almost be convinced that maybe Haney's carrying him if he makes it that far.
Yeah.
It's a fucked up thing to say, but that's just how I feel about it. The technical difference is just too wide. It's just too wide.
Yeah, Haney's just too sharp. Way too sharp.
Yeah. But anyway, so that's for this weekend's boxing, but let's talk a little bit about last weekend's MMA action. And we just got to start with UFC 300.
Yeah.
Sean, leading up to UFC 300, I feel like you and I kind of approached the week feeling a little bit underwhelmed in the sense of maybe there wasn't like a lot of superstar power attached to this card.
Yeah.
But a lot of potential for some pretty memorable fights. And I got to admit, man, like I was hyper impressed by the quality of UFC 300.
Agreed.
I mean, there's a lot to go over, a lot of repercussions from the results of some of these fights. So where do you want to start?
We'll start at the top. We don't have to go through the whole thing like last time, but we'll start at the top.
So the light heavyweight title fight between champion Alex Pereira. He knocks out Jamahal Hill in the first round. It was a really interesting left like uppercut slash hook that he landed on Jamahal Hill. You know, in later replays, this just shows some really good gamesmanship by Pereira. He actually stepped on Jamahal Hill's foot before he landed that punch.
Oh.
So Jamahal Hill couldn't really move out of the way and boom, like knocks him down and finishes with the ground and pound. And it was just hyper impressive. Jamahal Hill just didn't look like he was comfortable at all from the jump.
Agreed. I'm going to take the shut up white belt again. So I'll be again demoted to one stripe white belt because I thought Jamahal Hill was actually going to be able to pull it off. I
gave Jamal Hill a chance as well. And God damn, like he didn't even look like he was close.
No. I mean, from everything, from the jump, like if you watched a bunch of the embedded episodes, he was like, oh, let's be cool, sign my freaking jacket. And then all of a sudden he starts disrespecting him by bringing out like this almost like tiki head type thing and some Stonehenge.
Yeah, kind of smashing thing. It at the press conference.
Yeah, and then he was just talking a lot of shit. And Alex Pereira, like, I think Luke Thomas did a breakdown of the whole sequence that led to Jamal Hill getting knocked out. And Alex Pereira, I mean, if you don't know what his mental state, I mean, he doesn't say much. He grunts a lot, but his technical striking is just insane.
He's super balanced and he doesn't look like he has to wind up a lot to hit with power. Just a super dangerous kind of striker. And let's just jump ahead. Let's get ahead of ourselves here, Sean. Let's allow ourselves to live in a fantasy world. You know, Alex Pereira has expressed interest in a heavyweight fight.
Yeah.
How would he do against a Tom Aspinall for the interim heavyweight title?
You know, I think since Alex Pereira was able to pull this off, you know, you can pretty much give him whatever he wants at this point. But I think if they did give him Aspinall right off the bat, I think it would probably be a bad idea. I think.
Right. So Alex Pereira. Yeah. Like Alex Pereira, obviously on the weigh-ins, weighed in at 205. A day of the fight, they say he weighed 236. But that still puts him on the small side against someone like Tom Aspinall.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, put him up against like a top 10 guy, maybe like a Cyril Gaon or like a Rosenstrike or even like a Derek Lewis or something like that. And get him, you know, accustomed to fighting at heavyweight, then maybe, you know, after whatever they figure out with Aspinall, John Jones and Stipe, you know, don't just throw him into the deep end
That's thinking practically, Sean. I like you're being the practical one this week. Oh, usually yeah, I'm totally. The one that's like throwing cold water on some fantasies and shit. But man, the way Pereira looked, I mean, it just allows the imagination to go wild in a way.
Yeah.
You know, because he just looks like a monster at any weight class. But goddamn, would you have to create a new wing in the Hall of Fame if he were to become like a three division title holder? Wouldn't that be so wild?
It would.
Middleweight champion, light heavyweight champion, heavyweight champion. That would just be so wild.
It'd be crazy.
In such a short amount of time, dude. That'd be so wild. I don't think it'll happen, but man, fun to dream about those possibilities.
Do you think that Alex, at this point in his career, do you think that's Hall of Fame type shit at this point? I mean, him beating like, what was it? I think the stat was it five or six former UFC champs?
He's getting close. He's like maybe one or two title defenses from just really cementing himself. You know what I mean? It's just going to be really interesting to see what the rest of the year holds for Alex Pereira.
Yeah.
I think now his stock is super high.
Yeah. I feel like it could happen.
What was that you said?
It's a possibility that, you know, he does fight at heavyweight sometime this year, but I don't think they give him the title shot this year.
Maybe they just give him like a big name kind of heavyweight, someone that's like exciting, mm-hmm. someone that will for sure try to stand with him.
For sure.
All right. Hey, let's talk about the co-main event real quick. The women's strawweight title fight, Weili Zhang versus Yao Nan Yan. Weili Zhang defends her title, unanimous decision over five rounds. I'm really impressed by Weili Zhang's adjustment. And I've kind of seen this with her past couple of fights. You know, when she entered the UFC, she fashioned herself, or we all kind of described her as a power striker. Now I think it's like she's kind of turned into a grappler.
Did you notice that when she was grappling, she gassed out a little bit towards like the end of like the first two rounds? And I did notice
almost
that
like she's holding on too tight instead of using gravity properly, instead of using body position to hold Yan down, like just like a little bit too much squeezing. Yeah. And I get because maybe Jan's like very squirmy. So you always feel like you got to squeeze.
Yeah. I felt like she was using her grappling a little too much where all of a sudden now she wasn't this great striker because she was kind of whiffing on some of her shots and whatnot, but
yeah. And Jan was looking pretty sharp and like kind of clean and fast. So I think Weili Zhang just had no choice but to have to smother her and turn it into a grinded type of fight. I thought that was a really interesting adjustment. And one thing I want to ask you, there's a little bit of controversy in this fight. I think it was at the end of the first round when Weili Zhang had a choke on Jan at the end of the round. He was locked in pretty tight. The round ends. Jan barely gets up, but under her own powers, kind of staggering. She goes to the corner and there's some controversy there as to whether or not the corner person gave her smelling salts to wake her up, which is not allowed like in any United States Athletic Commission. Okay, anywhere does not allow smelling salts in the corner. Now, there are some people that said, no. He stuck his fingers in her nose and pushed down on some like orbital thing to kind of like jolt her awake. Or someone said they put like ice cubes at the tip of his fingers to kind of jolt her awake. And that was the explanation for why she was able to come out of it and be able to fight in the second round. But I don't know. It just looked kind of weird.
I mean, if it was against the rules, I'm sure there's no, I don't know. I honestly don't think that they use smelling salts. They probably just did some technique that they know of, but I mean, Joe Rogan like was already calling it out.
Yeah, like some pressure thing inside the nose, which I've never heard about.
I was going to ask you, like, have you heard anything like that? Because I heard it when they were in the corner, it was clear as day.
I've never heard of that.
They were just like, the dude was like, I can wake her up. I was like, how are you going to fucking wake her up, dude?
It's like, I guess it's some kind of technique thing. So I'm kind of curious. I'm hoping if you guys are on YouTube, I highly recommend following Brian Suterer on YouTube. He's this sports medical doctor. He does a lot of things where he covers like injuries that happen in sports, MMA, football, basketball, really thorough stuff, really accessible stuff. And I'm kind of wondering if one day he'll put, or one day soon, hopefully like this week, if he'd be willing to put a video on something like this, because I'm curious. I'm kind of curious about how all of that works. Is there any science behind sticking your finger up someone's nose and pressing down and that helping wake someone up? Because Jan looked really out of it. She looked really out of it. Like, you could almost argue that Zhang won that fight twice. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. that's how bad that choke was.
So what's next for Weili Zhang in your opinion?
I got to look at the strawweight rankings. You're much better on who's in the rankings at the top of your head than I am.
Yeah. So we got,
dude, after a fight like this though, I'd let her rest a little bit.
Oh yeah.
Because
I'm pretty sure.
I feel like this took something out of her. Maybe not in terms of damage, but just like, this was a grinding type of ass fight. It's not one that I expected.
Yeah, so we have number one, Tatiana Suarez, which I think is probably the fight to make. Jan Jonan goes down one. And then, you know, it's a bunch of people that probably won't even give any of the top two any trouble. So there's Amanda Lemos, Jessica Andrade, Virna Zhanjirjoba, Marina Rodriguez, who also fought this past weekend in Mackenzie Dern. There's just nobody in that weight class.
Suarez in the fall. I think Suarez in the fall with
I think she takes
Weili Zhang. And I think Weili Zhang, I think you're right. If she's going to go the grappling route, she's got to be more efficient in terms of how she uses her energy to hold someone down. Can't over squeeze.
No.
Got to use gravity. Got to use body positioning. Got to watch Khabib Nurmagomedov's instructional on how to leg ride and smash. Leg ride and smash. And then, you know, okay, this next fight, I'm going to eat a big shut up white belt Carlo on this one. The BMF fight between Justin Gaethje, Max Holloway. Max Holloway gets the KO in the last second of the very last round after essentially dominating most of the fight. I thought the power was going to be too much for Max Holloway and that got Justin Gaethje just would be able to walk Max down. But Max was just so sharp with his distance control. And one of the things that he did that I thought was a big improvement in his own development and was a perfect tool against Justin Gaethje was the way he used his kicks. Like his round kicks to the body were much more technically sound than in his past fights. Mm-hmm. And he landed like three or four spinning back kicks on Justin Gaethje that were right on the money. And the first one that he landed in the first round was what broke Justin Gaethje's nose. And I think that just changed the entire fight for Max.
I agree. Once he landed that spinning back kick right to the nose. I mean, I bet you he was even aiming for maybe his chest, but Gaethje does this thing where he kind of leans forward a little bit and caught him right on the nose. Mm-hmm. Like you said, changed the entire dynamic of the fight. And one thing I want to say about his kicks also is that they were, you know, thrown with purpose. They weren't thrown with like full power or anything like that for him to be in any type of trouble. The fact that Max was able to pretty much pick him apart with the exception of the fourth round, obviously, insane. And then for him to be winning the entire fight and then doing his trademark, let's stand and bang at 10 seconds. Honestly, they went in there and just, wow. So I was watching while I was doing some crafts with my kids. I had my little iPad on the side with an earbud and we were quiet. Just doing our little things. And I, right when that happened, I freaking got up and I screamed and my kids and my wife were like, what the fuck are you fucking doing? You know, it's so late at night. And man, I had to show them. I was like, look, this is what fucking happened. And man,
Sean, you're not justified. Alone. I think the entire like MMA universe world that was tuned into this fight, everyone screamed. We were yelling.
Yeah, where were you guys?
I was out over at my homie's place watching with a couple of friends and we all did the same thing at the last 10 seconds when they were just throwing down at the very end when Max did not have to do that. Max did not have to put himself at risk like that. And then he got the knockout at 4:59. But let me tell you how dangerous Justin was. As much as Max Holloway was piecing him up all night, there were like two instances where like Holloway was actually really in trouble. Justin almost knocked Holloway out.
Oh yeah.
In fact, when you look at the kind of the statistics for the fight, Justin Gaethje isn't credited with one knockdown that he got. I believe it was it the fourth round? Maybe there was one where he clipped Max like a little bit behind the ear and Max like got sat down and it took him like a minute to get his bearings back. And Justin, as hurt as he was still dangerous that entire fight.
It was interesting also the way Max was sliding out of the way from all those power shots, especially since, you know, he did have a full camp. He looked a lot fuller. He looked like he put on the right dimensions on his body and the right amount of muscle. And who would have thought that he was going to be the one to knock out Justin Gaethje in this type of fight? I'm going to say I had no respect for this belt, but ever since Max did that, I think he kind of made the belt and they should call it the Max Holloway. They should call it the Max Holloway belt.
The Max Holloway title. And like, you should have a tournament with all the best like brawlers. You call it like the Max Holloway Invitational or something.
That would be sick.
I got a question for you in the lightweight fight between former champion Charles Oliveira versus Armin Sarukian. Now that one, I called it for Sarukian. He did win a split decision against Oliveira. I was surprised at how close it got. Was very impressed that Oliveira was able to kind of withstand some of the punishment and still put up some very impressive offense on his own. I think that the judges got this correct. What did you think?
I thought they did as well. You know, Charles had that really close. Was it a rear naked choke or guillotine?
It was a darce.
Oh, it was a darce, yes.
Yeah.
Towards the end, in the beginning. Remember in the beginning,
the beginning, wasn't that a guillotine?
I think it was a guillotine, yeah.
Yeah, that was close. Yeah, the guillotine. And then at the end, there's the darce.
Yeah, the darce.
And it's kind of interesting because like Oliveira admitted that he thought that Sarukian had gone out.
Yeah.
But when the ref went in to check, Sarukian gave the thumbs up. Now, you've been around you know this, Sean, that sometimes people could go out for a split second and wake back up. And like, there was a moment where Sarikian looked like his body kind of collapsed, and I don't know. And it kind of fooled me. I thought maybe he went out. And when he gave the thumbs up, you know, the debate at the house that we were watching it at became, is that a move that changes the round enough? Like, yes, it's a submission hold. But if Sarukian is saying that, nope, I'm not choking, you know, I'm not in trouble, should that count as a move that almost finished a fight? Which is what MMA judges are supposed to be looking for, correct?
I agree. And they don't have...
Yeah, so it kind of is kind of interesting.
Yeah, they don't have the ability to see the camera angles that we get to see. But the angles that I saw, that motherfucker was turning purple.
He looked... Oliveira looked like he hit that fucking shit tight. Yeah,
dude. That guy too, man. His fucking arms are probably... Like the blades of his arms and the blades of his fucking everything, they probably... suck once they're getting fucking right around your neck or something. Like, dude, I can't imagine how that feels.
Yeah, but I mean, a very competitive fight. Sarukian's stock rises. I think Oliveira is still a very valuable fighter here. So the lightweight division is going to be super interesting, especially now that we know at 301, it's going to be Islam Makhachev defending his title against Dustin Poirier. So now lightweight division is super interesting.
Can I ask you a question about the lightweight division? Now, let me ask you, and just going back one fight to the Max Holloway fight, you know, this is a very tricky situation where he beats the number two lightweight, probably takes his rank, but he's also the number two featherweight, and he's probably next in line against Ilia Topuria. Now, which matchup is more favorable? Because should Islam beat, he probably will beat, who's he fighting again? Fuck. Who the fuck is he fighting?
Dustin Poirier.
I mean, if I had to make a prediction, I'm saying, you know, history repeats itself and the Dagestani or the Russian wins. Now, does that put Max, I mean, because overall, I don't know how the rankings are going to look at this point. Maybe they changed it already.
Well, I think they put him at number 9 at lightweight with his win over Justin Gaethje. So Max Holloway is still like the number 2 featherweight guy. I think they ranked him number 9 at lightweight because of the win against Justin.
Yeah. So that kind of throws me my question.
I think Max wants Ilia Topuria. I think he wants a shot at featherweight.
Does he win that fight though?
That's, you know what? I don't think he does.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, does he be smart?
Topuria is fucking good, man.
Yeah.
And he could give Max like problems in all the areas where he struggles. I mean, I know recency bias is going to make it look like Max Holloway is a goddamn god right now fought damn near like one last Saturday. But you know, it's a different styles make fights. And Topuria is the champ for a fucking reason. Yeah.
Do you think it's a case of these smaller guys are just too fast at this point for Max?
The speed's going to matter.
Yeah.
The speed's going to matter. And I mean, look at
Topuria, yeah. Look at anyone that he's lost to, not being a lightweight, but yeah, if you look at it, he has trouble with smaller guys.
So staying at lightweight then, what happens with Justin? How does he fit into the puzzle of Justin, Charles Oliveira, Armin Sarukian, that whole thing? I mean, Justin's probably going to be laid out for a while. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But let's say for example, like Islam Makhachev beats Dustin Poirier. How does Justin fit into that picture? How does Charles Oliveira, how does Sarukian fit into all of that?
Man, you know, what could happen is Justin probably fights. I say he fights Oliveira again. Just to
clear
it up. I wouldn't mind seeing that.
I mean, dude, they're both coming off of losses. You know, it'll be interesting though. Justin's probably going to be out for a while. I mean, that nose was broken.
Yeah.
The nose is fucking broken.
And concussion protocol, probably.
And with, yes, a concussion protocol. So he's probably out for like, 60 days perhaps? Mm-hmm. So we'll see. I'm pretty sure Charles Oliveira wants some rest as well. So like lightweight just got really interesting. Yeah. Again, that's also one of the reasons why I wasn't big on the whole, this whole BMF thing right here, because I feel like maybe it fucked up like both of their weight divisions, but goddamn, they both gave us a hell of a performance. So I gotta be grateful for that. I gotta, you know, I gotta eat my fucking words, man. This was a great fight.
Yeah.
It was a great fight. In other matchups on the evening, I want to shout out, Kayla Harrison submits Holly Holm in the second round on the prelims. Again, I just want to point out Holly Holm, 42 years old. Kayla Harrison, 33 years old. Kayla Harrison's physicality was just too much for Holly Holm. Holly just looked out of sorts right from the beginning. Couldn't quite get her timing down. But I also like to joke that I think Father Time should get the assist on that win, because I mean, Kayla Harrison was just looked like the younger, hungrier fighter in this one.
We kind of called it, like, remember we were saying if Holly tries to clinch, she's going to get thrown. And that first exchange they had, you know what? They had the first exchange.
Throw was kind of interesting. Like Kayla Harrison did a hip throw. Holly Holm like tucked in, held onto her and actually reversed her.
Yeah, she rolled her.
That's a move we used to practice a lot in Hapkido. And it's also a move you see in a lot of other grappling arts. So I thought I kind of geeked out a little bit over that, but then Kayla Harrison found her bearings later on and just like fucking like tossed her in the second round and then rear naked choked her. So boo.
Is she susceptible to rear naked chokes just in general? I mean, that's how she ended up losing her title.
Oh, dude. You know, you know what it is too? It's like it happens with these strikers that are pretty good at take down the fence, but when they're in the scramble, they have to make up their mind. Are they going to try to pull them into a guard of some sort? Or are they going to try to turn their back just to stand up right away?
I know.
And if they hesitate on which decision they're going to make, that's when a really good grappler is going to get into that opening and just like, you know, submit you from the back.
Yeah. I had no idea that, Kayla Harrison was going to be that. I mean, who knew her physicality was going to stay at 135, but man, she looked really
strong.
Yeah,
that was impressive, man. At this new weight class for her, she looked super impressive.
Yeah, and at this time, there's not really a huge women's MMA star at the moment. And I think she's coming in at the right time, and she's probably going to get fast-tracked pretty quick because Raquel Pennington.
If we know anything about the UFC, will.
Especially if it's something like that.
Yeah. Hey, speaking of someone doing well in a new weight class, Aljamain Sterling at featherweight, you know, we're talking about the former bantamweight champion, wins a decision versus Calvin Kattar at featherweight. Man, Aljamain Sterling's grappling carried over really well, is carrying over really well into featherweight. You know, I question whether or not he'd be able to do that at a higher weight class, but he was able to kind of control Calvin Kattar's power by just kind of grappling him and wearing him down over three rounds. And it was really impressive to me.
He looked really good too. Aljamain just looked more filled in, and it's almost kind of like the Max Holloway thing where Max looked really good at 55 and Sterling looks really good at, he's super shredded, just looked like he wasn't struggling at the weigh-ins or anything like that. So, I mean, he's kind of dangerous. I mean, I don't know where he goes from here, but he did beat the number eight guy. Usually when guys go up in weight and they beat someone in the top 10, they're probably in the top 10 at this point. What's next for that guy?
Dude.
He's ranked eight at this point.
He's ranked eight.
He could do like a little Arnold Allen, Josh Emmett.
I don't know. Let's see. Fine. Featherweight. Who else could we talk about at featherweight?
They got Yair. Like Brian Ortega would be a good fight.
God damn. Is that too big of a jump? That would be interesting,
former
though.
Former champion, you know, like...
Dude, usually when Brian, that might be interesting,
yeah, because usually when champions move weight class, they kind of rank up faster only because they've, you know, been at the top
name
for
recognition.
So long. Yeah. And a Brian Ortega, Aljamain Sterling could co-headline or headline a...
That'd be fascinating. That'd really be fascinating. You know, I kind of like that call just as a kind of a fantasy matchup kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, big shout out to the UFC veteran Jim Miller, who was on the early prelims. He fought lightweight against Bobby Green and just got bloody up over the course of three rounds. Fucking A, man. Jim Miller left his DNA all over that cage. I mean, any big blood splatter you saw that on the cage in later fights, that's from Jim Miller. Got revealed later on, Jim Miller, like, I think he broke his foot or a toe.
Yeah, I think
and it was then a toe. Also broke his hand and like something else happened. I mean, but he just fought on and saw the end. And it's just like, it was just too much. Bobby Green, just too fast. And now, Bobby Green called out your boy, Paddy Pimblett.
Ooh, that'd be so, a good fight.
I think that would be fire. I think good that'd fight. Be fire. I don't mind that. I don't mind that at all.
I actually thought Jim Miller was going to retire.
I'm sorry, what?
I thought Jim Miller was going to retire. I was like, don't do it, man.
You know what? Give him one more fight where he could just kind of look good. Even if it's not like a guaranteed win, just something where like some kind of technical brilliance could be showcased by both sides. So I want to see Jim Miller one more time at
Same
least.
Same here.
One more time. Just so he looks good. Because like the guy's been around. Give him a respectable matchup. Top to bottom, a pretty impressive card. I mean,
very good.
Nothing. Yeah, I was pretty impressed. I was pretty impressed. There were some surprises. There were some ones that we knew was going to be what it was. But real quick, before we move on, Sean, opening the main card at middleweight was Bo Nickel versus Cody Brundage. Bo Nickel had opened as a minus 2000 favorite.
Fuck.
Bo Nickel won by submission in the second round, but in a way with how much he was favored and the way that Brundage kind of scrambled with him in the wrestling, at least in the first round, did Bo Nickel kind of underperform?
I feel like people are just hating just in general.
Too hard on him?
I think so. I mean, the guy's a freaking standout wrestler and like, you know, he shows brilliance. I mean, he's such a good fighter and his wrestling is like top notch, but it's like, maybe it's one of those things. I used to hate Chris Weidman because he beat Anderson Silva. Mm. It's like, I feel like that's going to be the thing. They're just going to keep hating him until he beats someone huge. And I think he has a chance to become a champion. Not sure how he'll do against, the top tier. I mean, him against Sean Strickland or him against Khamzat would be a fucking absolute, like a headliner. I mean,
that's going to percolate for like another, like I want to say 18 months.
I agree.
I think that's the wet dream for the UFC matchmakers.
Yeah. Cause he could probably easily take out Adesanya. He could probably take out a bunch of people. But I don't know. We'll see what they do with them. Maybe they'll wait for the generation to swap over again. We'll see.
Hopefully they don't wait too long because again, you know, like the high pace scramble wrestling doesn't age super well.
No.
So can't let the guy get too old. Otherwise he can't use some of those weapons. Yeah. But anyway, that was UFC 300. You know, I gotta give it up. You know, like I can be critical of the UFC, but I think they came through with this card. So
I agree.
Congratulations to those fuckers.
Dude, they could have stopped it right at the Justin Gaethje Max Holloway fight. I would have been satisfied. I would have been like, cool. Dude,
high emotions after that fight. And then you have two more title fights after that. That's quality.
That kind of sucks how the two Chinese fighters had to go right after that. I mean, I don't think any other fights would have been, you know, that could have followed that. But if they would have just swapped the order, if say the strawweight fight was under,
that'd have been super disrespectful to the title. You understand? Be. You know how disrespectful.
Like, hey, BMF title is way better than your women's title.
You're supposed to have the circus fight. Let's be honest. Justin Gaethje Max Holloway was a circus fight.
Sure.
That you let that to open the curtain for the championship fights. They did it correctly. Okay. And then after that, everything else you can't control.
I said, if you guys didn't hear it last week, I swear, man, they should have put that women's strawweight fight in China. They would have probably fucking made a bunch of fucking
money.
Oh
yeah. Yeah. That's like a lot of people were saying that.
But then you were also saying that, you know, they need to fill this
fight. Yeah. It's kind of interesting, but I think it's because, you know, months out they had to book something. They had to make a splash in terms of announcing some type of title fight for UFC 300. And this was the fight that was available.
Yeah.
So, hey, but you know what? We got to enjoy it, you know, as it is. Also last week, the PFL had an event, not during the weekend. They didn't want to go head to head against the UFC, but the PFL started their season last weekend. They had the light heavyweights and also the lightweights going at it. Again, if you're wondering where to watch this, usually check it out on ESPN Plus. There was some pretty high action.
They were in Vegas too.
Yeah. There's some pretty high action on this one. I'm going to go ahead and kind of eat a white belt on this one. On the headliner. Wait, did I get it? No, actually I got this one right.
There you go.
Kasang and I got what they call it, kind of turn it like a standing TKO versus Alex Polizzi in the first round, like at 3:29 of the first round.
Dude.
Sometimes you see a lot of these finishes, especially in the early part of the season where everyone's just kind of trying to figure out the matchups, trying to shake out how the seeding will work once the tournament is set. But, you know, Input Kasang and I doing what a champion is supposed to do. It's like win the fights you're supposed to win.
Yeah. Dude, he's killing it right now.
Yeah. I mean, he's on a good, good roll. But on the other side of it, someone who's not on a good roll is our boy, Patricky Pitbull, losing to Clay Collard by standing TKO in the second round.
Who'd have thought?
It's just like, man. Well, you know what? What Patricky Pitbull? What is he now? Like, he's on the other side of 35 now, and it's just like, man, those high impact styles just don't age well. And you got a book on you, and like people like Clay Collard that are studying you, and how to take you out. It's just. Man, dude, it's just like, it was hard to watch. I mean, not hard to watch, but it's just like, damn, you know, it just shows like Father Time's undefeated. Speaking of like other things, other matchups we were looking at for on the PFL, your boy, Adam Piccolotti versus Elvin Espinoza.
He's winning that fight too,
loses by flying knee in the third round, Sean. God damn.
He was winning that fight.
Dude, and if you guys, reason why like Sean likes to mention Piccolotti, he's from the Bay Area.
He's from the Bay Area.
So he was on the Bellator scene for a while, and now he's on the PFL card here. So there was a lot of like finishes on this PFL from Thursday, last Friday.
Actually, they're all fucking finishes.
There's like submissions, there's TKOs. Yeah, I think that happens early in the season when like...
Oh, they're going against the fucking
essentially,
camps.
You got like super high-seated fighters kind of matched up against...
The low ones?
People are still trying to make their name.
Oh, you're so right. Dude, how about fucking Sadabusi freaking losing to freaking Josh Silvera? I've been talking so much shit about Josh Silvera for like the longest. And it's like, he keeps winning.
Yeah, but then like, didn't he get a TKO... Wasn't a TKO due to an injury to Sabadoo's thumb?
Yeah, that kind of sucks.
So it's like he couldn't continue. Yeah. So it's just kind of, it'll be kind of interesting to see okay, so does that mean like, you know, like where does that put him in the sense of the tournament later on in the season?
It's considered a TKO in the first round. So he gets those points. I don't know how many points he gets.
But that's weird because then Sabadoo C then gets seated low.
Oh,
but kind of like
he just has to win his next few fights. Then.
But then, he has to win his next fight. But then, let's say if he goes on and wins his next fight, so then he gets put into the tournament bracket later on this season. Yeah. He's going to be seated lower than he actually should be. Does that make sense? So you're going to get a pretty like two highly skilled fighters going up against each other early on in the tournament. So this kind of puts a little wrinkle in the tournament later on in the season.
Yeah.
Kind of interesting how that works.
Do you think they probably fight each other again at some point? Yeah, right.
We'll see. We'll see how that shakes out. So let's stay on the PFL because there next is another
week or this week
PFL.
Tomorrow?
Yeah, tomorrow.
Oh shit.
The season is going on tomorrow. It's going to be welterweights and featherweights. Headlining for the welterweights, you're going to have Koreshkov versus Umolatov.
Andrei Korshkov.
I don't know much about Korshkov. What do you know about him?
I remember, was he Bellator champ? I don't know. Mm-hmm. I'm not
GFL
sure.
GFL not showing him love because they're not putting his picture up on the PFL site.
Oh, fuck.
Damn. A co-main event, featherweight, Loughnane versus Carvalho. Loughnane, again, a guy that I completely underestimated 2 seasons ago. I thought he was too striking dominant and couldn't go well, wouldn't do well against other like grapplers, but ended up like actually really showing out in previous seasons, going up against Carvalho. At welterweight, you got Storley versus Musaev. That's going to be interesting. Featherweight, you got Braga versus Gonzalez. This is cool, man. They're bringing in like a bunch of the fucking Bellator people into these seasons. Hey, at welterweight, like, you got Gochi Yamauchi versus Neiman Gracie. It's
a good fucking fight right there.
I don't know. Oh man, we'll I could feel the ejaculation coming from Sean Oliver. the jujitsu ejaculation.
Jack off jujitsu.
That fight, the possibilities. Also at featherweight, the return of Bubba Jenkins. Versus Kai Kamaka. I don't know much about Kai Kamaka, but Bubba Jenkins,
Hawaiian,
I feel one of the kind of bordering on the elite of featherweights, yeah. I feel with Bubba Jenkins. Yeah. So, so PFL coming in with some action, hopefully, you know, they improve their production. So that way, like people, give PFL a chance, give some of these fighters some good looks, give the fighters on PFL some good exposure. I think the more leagues there are, the better it is for these fighters' careers, give them choices.
I mean, it was a good event last week. So hopefully this one shows up. It feels like the featherweights and the welterweights, they should provide some really good action though.
I mean, just like really good. Yeah. Usually, especially at featherweight, you got these like super fast, typically great cardio. Welterweights, you know, fast, but they also have like that power at that weight class. So should be fun. Just really quick, guys, in the grappling scene, this weekend, we have 2 things going on. The ADCC Montreal Open, which is going to be in Montreal, And also the Brasileiros, which will take place in Brazil. It's also known as the Brazilian Nationals. Mm. So that's happening this weekend. And also, if you happen to be in SoCal, the Orange County International Open for the IBJJF is down there. And because Sean wants to make sure that Nogi gets some love, it's also the Orange County International IBJJF Nogi Championship this weekend. So that way, Sean doesn't spend all his time hating on the pajamas.
Also, shout out to anyone that's competing at the Jiu-Jitsu World League in Stockton this weekend. I'm sure there's a bunch of locals going out.
Oh, is that happening this weekend?
That's this weekend. And
I didn't know that.
Shout out to all my teammates at Magala Jiu-Jitsu and to the homies over at Colhado Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu as well. And anyone else that we mentioned at the end of our podcast, shout out to everyone that's going to be competing. It was sold out. I actually thought that I could probably get by the deadline, but they actually sold out faster than they did in past events. So it's going to be a good weekend for Jiu-Jitsu. Just in general, especially in the Bay Area, because I'm sure it's going to be a lot of people out there. Also, shout out to all the guys at 10 Planet Daily City.
Right on. And again, you guys looking for something to do this weekend, there is the Santa Clara Fitness Expo this Saturday.
Look out for Carlo over there. He's going
to
be there.
Yeah, look out for me, man. I'm going to try to wear my Mighty Beast shirt. So come say hi to me. And look also, him up. Man. And also, like, if you guys are... you know, just want to be out and about with hopefully the weather holds out. This is the last weekend of the Cherry Blossom Festival in Japantown here in San Francisco. You know what's cool about the Cherry Blossom Festival?
Never been.
You know, sometimes on the main stage in the plaza, they have martial arts demonstrations. So that's always fun to check out. You know, our school, Hapkido Yosei, we used to do a demonstration every year at the Cherry Blossom Festival. Haven't done it the past few years, usually it's fun. You get to see, like, usually like a judo school doing something, sometimes even a kendo school doing something. So hopefully check that out.
Nice.
I'm surprised. What else are you doing? What else are you up to this weekend, dude?
This weekend, probably just going to hang out with the kids. I actually skipped out on training today to go skateboard with my kids. So probably.
Oh my God. You're still skateboarding, bro. Yeah.
It's fucked.
Dude, that's more dangerous than jiu-jitsu.
I agree.
That is more skateboarding. I'm convinced is much more dangerous than like combat sports.
Yeah. I almost ate shit trying to freaking hop over this cone and doing a heel flip. Landed kind of, what do they call it again? Primo? Where you land on the side of the skateboard? Oh, God.
I was only good at just kind of coasting down hills. I could never do ollies or kick flips or anything like that.
It's fun.
Were you one of those skaters, like, could you drop into a half pipe safely?
You know, I've actually been learning that lately. So I can drop into a small pipe, but then the ones at the skate park that we're at, they're just too big. And I'm just like, fuck. It's scary, dude.
Damn, dude. You know, I gotta tell you, like something like that, like dropping into a half pipe, I almost feel like it's one of those lifetime, what do you call it? Like bucket list things. Like,
oh yeah.
It's like a skill set, like learning how to ride a bike, learning how to swim, learning how to drop into a half pipe and not die.
Yeah, that's one thing you gotta try.
So all my training partners, if I'm out of sparring for like a month or two, you know why? It's because I fucking broke something trying to drop into a half pipe, dumbass, trying to like fucking skateboard at my age. What the fuck's the matter with me?
What else you got planned for the weekend other than going to the fights?
You know, going to the fights on Saturday, Sunday morning, I want to check out the Cherry Blossom Festival. And then Sunday afternoon, hanging out with the family. One of my nieces is going to be in a play down near Mountain View. So hang out, family, some chill stuff. Sounds like really boring now. Not boring, no, but it sounds fun. Like not like super exciting stuff. I'm not getting into any shit. So I'm doing some highly responsible adult stuff, guys.
Someone's going to pay for
growing
lunch.
Up. I'm slowly but surely maturing.
Just eat at a good restaurant after. You'll be fine.
Yay. In and out.
Yeah. And remind them of that order, dude. What do you call it? You have to have a name for it, dude. Because I've been getting it all.
What order?
The fucking.
Oh, I get the three get by 4x4 with grilled onions.
You get
only.
The 4x4. I go 3x3 with onions.
I used to do that, but then it's just I'm a growing young man. So I go to 4x4, get the fourth patty. 4x4, grilled onions only, two orders of fries.
I'm sorry, and what? A chocolate only? Shake. Grilled onions?
You say grilled onions.
Oh, I thought
only.
You said green.
So I don't do
green?
The spread.
Yeah.
I don't do the spread or the lettuce and tomato.
That's called the Carlo shuffle. We'll call it
that. Yeah, right. You guys try to order that In-N-Out. They're going to look at you like, what the fuck is that?
It's like, fuck off. Anyway,
Bob, we got another weirdo.
That's going to do it for us, guys. Don't forget to like, share, and share the podcast. Don't forget to hit up don't forget to hit up our social medias. Mine is Sean_Pierre_ and yours, Carlo.
I'm HopQ1 on Instagram.
Don't forget to hit up Magal Jiu-Jitsu. Good luck to you guys at Jiu-Jitsu World League this weekend. 10 Planet Do Daily City, FTCC in Las Vegas, and Omni Movement in Hercules.
Hey, we're at Hopkido USA. Shout out to our Cojaldo Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu team.
Good luck.
Our Golden Pizza Muay Thai team. We had a number of our teammates from Jiu-Jitsu try their first Muay Thai class with our team yesterday. Nice. So that was cool. Shout out to our friends and fam over at Pacific Ring Sports in Oakland. Good luck this weekend in your fights. Shout out to Sama Martial Arts in Pinole, Sensei Jonathan Rojas. He recently promoted, or he's going to promote some new black belts from his school this weekend. They're going through the final phase of their test. And shout out to our friends at Rooted Legacy Muay Thai in Martinez.
UFC has the weekend off, guys, so make sure you watch the boxing fights. Get high as fuck. It's
watch
fucking
the PFL. Watch the PFL.
Guys. Thursday, tomorrow, PFL. Saturday, Garcia versus Haney, 420, Jiu-Jitsu World League. It's going to be a great weekend. Peace.
Ooh, shit, that was hot.